Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Family Life, your host, Serena Muhammad and Dr. Nadia Muhammad. Dr. Muhammad is working on community projects and will join us in the next few weeks. This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellent, Murad Speaks. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious and most merciful. I greet the listening audience and our guests in the peace of Assalamu Alaikum. Our honored guest today is Sister Khalila Camacho Ali, humanitarian, author, actor, and important mother and grandmother. Sister Khalil was raised in Chicago, where she attended an Islam school. Her heritage includes her parental grandfather from Karachi, Pakistan. She speaks over four languages, knows how to fly a jet, brothers and sisters, drive race cars, and earned her ninth degree black belt. Sister Khalil has studied Karachi under Jim Kelly, who studied under Bruce Lee and Steve Saunders. She appeared in the Jane Fonda film, The China Syndrome, and understand she is back in production with new acting projects. How exciting. We'll touch on that a little later. Sister Khalila, a member of the Nation of Islam, married on August 18, 1967, the boxing legend Muhammad Ali, and from this union had four children. One of the couple's greatest challenges was Ali's draft evasion, costing him his boxing title in 1967, a decision later overturned by the Supreme Court. Khalila supported him emotionally and financially. Sister Khalila, welcome.
Well, what a beautiful introduction to add to those accolades. I'm Dr. Khalila Camacho Ali, and I just want to correct that. With the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I'm so honored to be on your show. And I just want to get back to Dr. Khalila Ali. I became PhD in theology in 2018. So that's something new on my accolades a lot of people don't know about. I'm honored to be here on your show. I've known you for a very long time. And it's amazing that you contacted me and told me our story to remind me of the history that we already have. Thank you very much. And all the listeners out there, thank you very much for listening and supporting the station.
How beautiful. Dr. Khalila, how wonderful. And you know I know the work because I'm a PhD candidate myself.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, ma'am, three classes to dissertation in public health. So I know the work it entails. Congratulations. I want to start with this. There is a spiritual energy and a new life that may dictate the remainder of life's greatness.
Yes.
You have not only tapped into this energy, but you have sustained it. Could you please elaborate?
Yeah, Allah has blessed me to be a survivor. It was a tough life in one way, but it was a beautiful life in another. I tend to come up with the conclusion that in our lifetime, we live many lives. There are many lives. I guess, as you would say, a cat would live, because there's so many that we go through for being naive to being a little wiser, and this carries you through different lives. Coming up in the Muslim school, Muhammad University of Islam number 2, which I started from kindergarten and graduated 12th grade, and that was another life there. And I learned a lot about the religion, the mannerisms, the etiquette of that religion, and the way of life that we carried ourselves during that time. It was just amazing. And it was all beautiful. And how we once believed in certain properties, we don't believe in now. And but still the wrath of that old way, it was a learning in progress. But, you know, and then I get married. I had a school life. I had a married life, you know, and then I have a tragic life during divorce. And then I had another life trying to come out of it to survive and move on. And that was a great transition. I'm now fighting the bells of being a little heavy. So that's another life I got to struggle with and transition to get back in shape because of all the pressures and the stress through doing the Muhammad Ali's Parkinson's, knowing he had Parkinson's, and knowing there's nothing I could do about to help him. That was very stressful for me. And now he's passed away, returned to Allah. I'm kind of happy that he's not in pain. And now we can flourish. And I decided to carry the time we were together with our brethren and part of the Black Afro-American history that we portrayed in our lifetime, what we was a part of that history. And that history will never die. I would keep that as we work together as husband and wife, traveling around the world, meeting great, beautiful people, Muslims, Christians, and Jewish people around the world, learning about different nationalities and their culture. I would always cherish those days, those learning moments. And I will keep that positive part alive because it helps other young people, you know, to get the inspiration to go the same path, to travel, to learn, to connect with other worlds, other lands, other languages, and that I like to keep here to inspire younger people and other people to make this part of their experience as well.
Yes, something, you know, touched me profoundly.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know, being a scientist and constantly, mm-hmm. you know, on the internet researching, so one day I'm completing this project near the time of Muhammad Ali's passing, may Allah be pleased with him and grant him Jannah, I saw this profound picture, and the picture was his family at his bedside, all the children, yourself, certainly his wife at the time. And Dr. Khalila, what was so profound to me was this picture of you at his bedside praying over him. I thought that was gracious. I thought that was strength. And I saw a sister of faith in Almighty God Allah. And I know how important that is.
Yes,
ma'am. But that is how that hit me. And I want to thank you.
I want to thank you, too. You're welcome, my sister. I think to me, it's mandatory to forgive. It's mandatory to support, and it's mandatory for us to pray constantly. The people that pass through us, that cross our paths, whether it's positive or negative path, but the fact that it remains. That is a learning station, and whether it's positive or negative, it's still a learning in progress. And it's very hard. People don't forgive; they just don't. And once you set your mind to it and say it, that they forgive someone that probably has hurt them or broke their heart to. Whether they knew it or not, I find it, it came out, it didn't come out easy, but it did come out. And to Allah that we have a way of life, such as Al-Islam, that keeps us in check on the things that we must do. And these things that we must do, people tend not to do it. And because of their greed or because of their ego, whatever, they should learn to forgive. It's very hard to come by. And when you do it, when I did it, it was very hard. But it really, once I said it, it just relieved me. It relieved me. Oh, I felt so good. And I said, boy, I said, people could only forgive and really truly forgive, not just to say the word, but in your heart, truly forgive. It's so uplifting. It really is. And you know what? The things that we all do on this planet that's wrong and we have a deity that forgives us. I mean, and he knows. He knows that we're going to do it over and over and over and because we're not perfect, and he knows it. But at least the supreme being that I call Allah still forgives us, and he knows what we're going to do before we do it. So, you know, if a God like that will always be there to forgive you, and he knows that you're going to do it again, he still will forgive you. You know, people are so, you know, crazy and ignorant of the fact that who are they not to forgive somebody? They're nobody. They're nobody. They're not a creator. They're not a God. And but yet they have the audacity to hold on a grudge for hours and days and years and decades, and it's just wrong. How dare us, you know, be so arrogant and narcissistic and don't forgive somebody. I mean, it's just people and families, they hate each other. And there's no forgiveness nowhere. They had no control of being here. They had no control of the people that God has brought in their lives. But yet, they're so arrogant, they will not forgive. But I learned to forgive because my religion teaches that. But it's really, really hard, but it was such a great relief. You know, man, Muhammad Ali has been through everything. He's been confronted with everything. And nobody is perfect, him or I. None of us are perfect in this world. We go by our lifetime trying to do the best. But yet, there are different influences around us will change that. And it would change it without you even knowing it. And, you know what I mean? So, but there's one thing that I just don't tolerate. I do not tolerate developing hate for anyone. I will not tolerate it. I tend to, you know, see in everyday life there's confrontation. Political confrontation, democracy, diversities, Republicans, Democrats fighting like the Hatfields and McCoys. I mean, and they're messing with our way of life. They're damaging our freedom to choose faithfully, honestly, and I find both of these parties has taken away the love and the work that we could be doing together. Now, that's one thing I just have to say about it, because when I get upset and stressed out, I just pick up the life of Prophet Muhammad. May peace and blessings be upon him. And I didn't know which way to go, how I was going to get out of this situation, how I was going to go forth without helping Muhammad Ali, our children. What can I do to advance and move on to something that I love and admire? And I had no idea what to do. So I just read the story of our dear prophet, and it hit me. It hit me hard. And I discovered, other than him being the blessing that has been upon us and to change the history and put down the history and create the Quran, this man, a human being, a man on this planet that has the most impeccable way of life, being kind and compassionate. And all his companions have seen the etiquette and the mannerism that this one man has, even before Allah chose him to be the prophet. His demeanor, his way of acting and treating people, excellent. And I've heard and read scholars of the Jewish rabbis, of the Christian priests, of the Christian popes. I've heard them even say they've read, and he is the most outstanding man of character. All men got goosebumps. And I just said, oh, my God, my goosebumps were so big I needed a coat. And I said, that's it. That is it, Khalilah. You need to make an awakening for children and adults and parties to live and create and develop character. And if you can get somebody to develop good character, the best way they can, it's in them already. It's already there. They have to bring it out and make it blossom. So to say that, I start, and you know, when I was a kid, I used to love the color, but I learned how to keep the colors in the line, and that was the biggest thing. And when I would color, they said, ooh, you color so good. But yet, it's just teaching you to go through the line. But it was not teaching you anything else. So this is what I did. I said, to make my coloring book interesting, I developed this coloring book to teach manners and etiquette. And it's called Color to Learn. So it's not, you're not only learning to color, you're learning things that you're coloring in the book, and you observe. And I decided to create this book. I just took my computer and created the whole book on my computer, sat down, and completed it. And now it's called Color to Learn, and with Mama Ali, the name that children has created for me all across the country without even meeting each other, come up with the same name I hear all the time, and that's Mama Ali. And I said, well, that's it. That's going to be my brand given to me by the children of the world. And I love that name, Mama Ali. I do love it. And I thank them for giving it to me. It's a new brand that I'm using. And the kids, but see, the coloring book is not only for the children. I made it, it's for all ages, because we all tend to lose manners. Year by year, we are losing our etiquette. Year by year, we're losing our kindness. Day by day, we're losing our compassion. Day by day, we find out we have no empathy at all. And that is a disgrace toward God, toward God, toward nature. It's just wrong. And this is going to take a lifetime of spreading, because it continues. As long as we are living, it continues. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So that's what I'm all about. Yes, my mission is to make people aware of who they are and how they carry themselves. Nobody is perfect, but we have to develop compassion. We have to develop empathy, and we have to develop kindness, because our families today are broken up because of these issues.
Yes.
So more than anything, our families are broken up because of arrogance and greed and egotism, and it is the biggest killer in the world. So I decided to go that route, and now I look at film and I see how it impregnates women's minds. And so I figured to go back into the film industry and make some film, so I can, you know, collect and develop. And it sounds this way. And I got to tell you, saying that is to say this. My life story, some of my life stories I'm sharing with the public. The first time I ever spoke out about anything, usually when I don't know what to say or what to do, I just don't say anything. I just try to absorb it, and through time, God shows me what it all means. And usually, that's my compassion to learn. And I never spoke out when I should have spoke out, but I thought it was best to just be quiet and just learn what's happening in my lifetime, you know. So now it'll be the first time me speaking out. I'm not known to, after this book, I'm not going to be known as holding back. I'm just going to be raw about it. I'm going to be raw about it, and I'm going to tell it. And if you don't like it, I don't care, because it's my life telling it, all right? So if you don't like it, I'm sorry. I hurt your feelings, because it had nothing to do with you at all. So there you go.
You know, you intuitively, you know, I was going to ask a question, what is the common thread in theology? And you intuitively spoke about the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace be upon him. The Sunnah. That's a common thread. You talked about
people
of great faith from different backgrounds and how the prophet's example gets you upon him. Is that common thread?
Yes.
And then children, I understand there are many humanitarian events with children, one specifically of West New York, and from children around the globe, and you were able to speak to them in their native languages. What is that commonality in languages?
You know what? I love languages simply because of this. When you get around a person that speaks a language, say Spanish people, and you get around your common denominator in learning about the people is trying to tap in on their language. And when you show interest of their language and they see you trying, it glorifies their feelings. They like it. They gravitate towards you with love and compassion.
Yes. Yes.
And then that's the way to communicate to others. Like when you say some of their words and they just perk right up and they go, oh, well, you can speak Spanish. No, I'm just learning a few words. But that connection connects me with that person or that person of that culture. And I find it exhilarating, and it just makes me feel even better about myself learning something different. And usually when I go to a certain country, I tend to adapt to their language. I never thought I would ever adapt to in Germany. I never thought when I went there, I was listening, and I listened to the sounds, and I listened to the words, and somehow I could pick up what they're saying automatically. And within a week's time, I was speaking fluent Dutch.
Oh, my goodness.
So if I can go to a country, and then I checked my DNA and found out I have Irish-German blood, in my DNA, so now I see why it was easy for me to adapt.
Yes,
you know?
Ma'am.
Yeah, but you know what? Yet I went to Brazil, and I speak a little Spanish. So when I go to Brazil, they speak Portuguese. It sounds like Spanish, and it seems like when they talk to me, I reply in Spanish, but it's a totally different language. And believe you me, that one just eludes me because I can't get it. I don't get it. And it's like I couldn't pick it up. That was the hardest language that was hard for me to pick up. But, yeah, I can give greetings to someone, Portuguese, saying, bonjour, tudo bem. If you say that, they'll say, hey, what's up? Everything's cool. Yeah. So when I did pick up that something to say something about Portuguese, so I adapted and learned how to say, you know, what's up? Everything okay? You know, so then they love me for it. And I just wish if I didn't have all these other distractions, in the life, if I could just go away and just learn languages, I'd like to go to the country and stay a good month out of each country, and I could pick up the language.
How beautiful and what an inspiration to people.
Yeah. And then when you learn about languages, they have different dialects, but the dialect shows them what quadrant they live in or what district. Like in Chinese, when they say you speak Chinese, there are two main dialects, general dialects. They have Cantonese that's taught out for the northern part of China and Mandarin, which is spoken probably in the southern provinces. So I can say thank you in Cantonese, and I can say thank you in Mandarin. Say in Cantonese, they say "谢谢" when they say thank you. But in Mandarin, they say Poche. So it's a little bit different. So you get to know different little major dialects and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's so funny because my daughter is learning Japanese, and she told me how to say thank you, KK. And then she says, another, arigato gozaimasu. And I was like, oh, my goodness.
Yes. Well, that was usually easier for me because in my martial arts, when we count our katas, we count in Japanese. They won't say it in English. So, they would say, Ichi-ni-san, chi-go, roko-chichi-achi-ku-ju. And you have to repeat it. So you tend to pick up Japanese when you yell. When you get in karate, it's basically you say your katas in Japanese. Yes. Yes. And when you do fencing, I learned fencing from a guy named Falcon Faulkner. He taught fencing to, like, Earl Flynn and the swashbuckler, Tyrone Powell. He taught them fencing. So 80s, 70s and 80s, and he taught me fencing. And as he was teaching me fencing, he said, you sure you haven't fenced before? And I said, I'm proud of this. And he said, you have a natural order of fencing. But during our fencing, they have fencing katas, and they only speak in French. They speak French when you do fencing. So I kind of picked up French too. Yeah. But I learned a lot of French. I learned a lot of French when I was in Africa because the French ruled Africa for so many years. And if you can't speak Ingala, or if you can't speak Korba, you do speak French, you can get away with it. So that's pretty good.
That is so beautiful. Now listen, this show is brought to you by New Africa Excellence, Laurent Speaks. The very important, you mentioned some of the new projects in film. And the way that film is communicating, what type of works are you doing and that you're interested in to convey what message?
Yes. Okay. Well, right before the Christmas holidays, way before that, I love film, period. I critique film. Check it out. I see what kind of message it's giving, and a lot of it is negative, but there are some that is positive. But you can take a negative and turn it into a positive. So learning film is the most powerful thing in the world. And so right before the Christmas holiday, I used to see sitcoms all the time with episodes here and there, Vampire Diaries, the originals, things like that. That's aloof, and I see where they're going with it. But anyway, so I said, man, it gets in my mind. That was it. I wish I could be in a sitcom and really get off on that, And all of a sudden, a friend of mine called me and told me, I know a lot about your acting ability, and I shared it with my producers. They're producing a film called The Grid, and it's on Amazon Prime. And so he says, one of the guys is going to call you, by Lee Carter. And Lee Carter is the main producer, executive producer, and director. And he called me, and he said, well, I'd like you to play this role of this woman. She has Haitian descent. And like I said, I learned all this by going to Haiti. I've been to Haiti. I know how they think, and I know how they act in a way because I got accustomed to their customs. And because I was Muhammad Ali, and I was the guest of Jean-Claude Duvalier, who is the president or ruler of Haiti at one time. He was called Baby Doc because his father was Papa Doc, and there's a lot of stuff going in that. So I learned the Haitian ways, and I've learned a lot of Caribbean songs when I was a little girl. My dad came up classical, but the only thing that he had other than the classical music would be Caribbean music. My father loved the Caribbean music. And Harry Belafonte, I was here all the time as a kid. So I learned some of the songs that Harry Belafonte sang for the land of Haiti. You know, one of the most popular ones is Haiti Chéri. That means the beloved land of Haiti. So I learned that song. So when they asked me to play this role, actually the sitcom is like, I'm supposed to be the elder of my brother, who is a politician, and he's very wealthy. And the cartel of the drug cartel and the human cartel, human trafficking. Now, this is already going on all in America. The series is a hybrid reality show, which will give you information on the reality of life and real life, and their actors are just the fictitious actors to delay, to express what's going on in the country. And human trafficking, drug trafficking, is top on the list. So they said to me, so my brother, that is a politician in the community of Florida, he was a good guy. And the cartels wanted him to work with him, and he didn't want to go wrong and do bad things. He said no, he refused. So his wife was kidnapped and killed. So they forced him to work with them. He had no choice because then they kidnapped his daughter, which would be my niece.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brother comes to me and say, look, I need your help. Your niece has been kidnapped. And then I'm supposed to be a really badass gangster. So forgive my words. Badass word for it. There's no other way of saying it. So I'm working in the community. I'm not a nice person, but I'm a good person. I will bump you off, and you will come up missing. And so my brother comes to me and says, sister, I got a problem. And then I said, well, I'll take care of that problem. You go straight. You don't deal with these cartels. I'll take care of it. Because I got my little goons behind me with guns and everything, you know, playing gangster. But basically, I named my own self this particular name since I had Mama Ali. After that, I changed it to Mama Soleil. So Mama Soleil is the mother of the sun, which is a Haitian term. And Mama Soleil has been heard. You don't see her much, but you hear about her. She's dangerous, but she helps the community. So it's like I'm a good person, but I do something that with enemies necessary, I do it. So I have a cop out of the police department who I pay on my payroll. He makes sure I get what I want. But yet these people are coming up missing. These women in the cartels are being rescued by someone. They're gone. And I get my bodyguard to kind of talk to one of the cartels who likes one of the girls, and he want to help her. So they kind of throw the girls to my guys, and my guys bring them to me, and I take them and put them in my community center because they have nowhere else to go. Now, these girls are now trained under my tutelage to be women and mothers, to be healthy, to be out of the gentlemen's clubs, out of the the strip clubs, and I cleaned them up, and I put them out in the street so they can become mothers and freedom fighters, and that's what I do. And even though I'm packing, I'm looking out for my women. They're gonna be introducing me to the grid for the first time after they've already made me associate producer. A lot of Haitians deal in voodoo and stuff. I told them that is not gonna happen on my watch. It's not happening. So I killed that scenario right away.
I'm going to ask you about this, Maria.
I'm a badass, but I ain't doing the voodoo thing. Nah, that's not happening. That's not happening. Yeah. I believe in one God. Yeah, that's it.
I don't know about it.
So, but that's the important part because, you know, I can control my character. I can keep it clean. You know what I mean? It's not going to be all away clean because I'm killing people, but I'm killing bad people.
That's how we got
to look at this. That's how you got to look at it. It's not good one way or the other. It's not good at all. But this particular character, she has her job. You know what I mean? So,
How long is the series?
Well, actually, the first time that they introduced me, they already have episodes 1 through 5 playing on Amazon Prime right now as we speak. So I'd like everybody to join Amazon Prime, check out The Grid, THEGRID, The Grid. You check it out.
Uh-huh.
A lot of scenes of The Grid is on Facebook right now. Check it out, but they're going to introduce my life for the first time in The Grid, which is changing and making it a little bit more interesting in episode 6. So that's the episode I want y'all to wait for. That's when you'll see me doing my best and my worst. So I want everybody to turn into Amazon Prime Video and look up The Grid. I will be featured in episode 6. So wait for it. Go check out all the stories behind it, building up to my entrance. So please go to Amazon Prime, The Grid, and then check out my series. It is a young film work, filmmakers creating, and it's going to get better and better and better. So, don't criticize it too much because it is a work in progress. That's how they learn their filmmakers. We have great filmmakers. We have the Juice. I only know him as the Juice. I can't call him anything else because I can't remember his African name. He's from Ghana, so he's African, but Juice is African. He's a great executive producer, director, and Lee Carter, who's playing my brother. He is a great individual. I love him, and it was just amazing to see and work with these great, great black men who are really getting into the world, and we're like a team now. And the little that people know that I have a casting company. I've had it for 3 or 4 years. I have a casting company. And if you want to be an actor, go to my casting company and I will put you in there. And if I'm in your area, I will pull you as an actor, a singer, or rapper, or model. I give these services to my clients. So if you want to be an actor, if you want to be a model, if you want to do anything in this entertainment business, then your photos, head photos, no glasses, to the greatest casting agency at AOL.com. And I mean the greatest casting agency at AOL.com. So that's for everybody, because I might be in your area soon. And if I'm in your area, I will pull you and put you in the movie.
There you go. Fantastic. So you have – now, where are you filming? Which state are you filming in?
Well, we came all over. I started filming with them when I was doing my role in Florida. And that Florida it was between Miami and Fort Lauderdale. I had some people in my casting agency that was from Orlando, because they were in my company. And they came to do their role. But we're going to be filming all over. I think the next shot is going to be Los Angeles. So if you're in Los Angeles, send your pictures in to thegreatestaol.com.
Fantastic.
I think California is going to be the next spot.
Oh, fantastic. Going into Atlanta at any time?
Yes. Oh, yes. Matter of fact, that is the home headquarters for our directors and producers. They live in Atlanta. So okay. I'm sure we're going to be shooting in Atlanta as well. So anybody in Atlanta, go to the greatest casting agency at AOL.com.
Excellent. Yeah. Thank you. And that's so important for people of all ages.
Yes, ma'am. Of all ages.
Practice their art. This is absolutely wonderful. But before you go, I need to know how you learned how to fly a jet.
Oh, my goodness. You're talking I'm talking way back when I was 22, darling.
But back then,
this is the thing. When I was 10 years old, this is in my book, too. When I was 10 years old, I was an honor student at the Muhammad University of Islam, and number two. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, one of the greatest men I've ever known, I lived in his home and everything. He ran the school. It's because of my mother and father being Muslim back in the 40s. When I was born in the 50s, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, give me your daughter, I will put her in my school. And that was the best thing that ever happened to me. And when I was 10 years old, and this is right before I met Cassius Clay, I went to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad picked all the honor roll students and gave us a trip and got in a helicopter and flew all around the city of Chicago. That's when it hit me.
Wow.
And that was the most extreme and exciting. You know, it's kind of hard to get me excited about anything, but that did it. That took the cake. I mean, I was flying around the city. I thought, oh, I belong up here. And at the same time, while I was learning that, and when I got back to school, that's what I've always wanted to do. And I even then, what hit me most of all was that I read in our Black History book about Bessie Smith was a first Black African-American pilot back in the 30s. So that just increased my interest of a Black woman being a pilot. That blew my mind. That blew my mind. I'm a Muslim girl. They're not going to let Muslim girls fly no plane, you know. I mean, we have a lot of restrictions on what a woman can do, what she can't do, and this and that. It wasn't really specifically the fact that we couldn't do it. It's just something that men did, and that's something we didn't do. So just knowing that broke my heart. And I said, I just kind of fly, though. And so this is the deal. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had bought a Learjet. And one of his grandsons trained and learned how to fly that Learjet. so he could be in the company of people he trusts. Sultan Muhammad was the man's name, and we all went to school together. And Sultan called me up one day and said, "Khalilah, you wanna go with me? I'm gonna go up in a plane. Do you wanna go with me solo? Would you like to fly?" And I said, "Yeah." I was with Sultan to O'Hare Field, and he got in a small plane, and I went with him, and he was doing solo flight and everything. And I went up with him and went around the city. I said, "Oh, my goodness, Sultan, oh, I want to do this so bad." And then I said, "Do you think a woman can do this?" He said, "A woman can do anything she wants to do. And if you want to fly, you should learn." And so he was showing me things in the cockpit. He said, "You think you want to land a plane like I showed you?" And I said, "Yeah." And I took the throttle, and I landed that plane even, on both wheels even. It was the most exhilarating experience I ever had. I had a plane in my control.
Oh.
And then when we got out of the plane, this guy started running toward the plane. This white guy runs toward the plane and goes, "Sultan, you didn't land that plane. You did not land that. You have never landed that. Did she land that plane?" And he said, "You didn't want to lie to the man." He said, "Yeah, she did." And he said, "Who is this girl?" He said, this is Khalilah." I said, he said, "Would you want to learn how to fly? You really know how to maneuver that plane." I said, "Yes, sir." So this particular man coached me in learning how to fly, and from Butler Aviation, which is located at O'Hare Field, and he showed me how to fly, and I passed my test. And
isn't that remarkable?
Yeah, Muhammad Ali didn't approve of it because he hates flying, and he didn't want me to get in a plane. "Don't you? I'll ever see you get in a plane again." So I kind of snuck around, and that was flying again. I snuck around.
What you had to do?
I said, "I can't let this man stop me from flying. This is crazy. I just keep it a secret." But it was the most exhilarating thing. But you want? Can I tell you one thing?
Yes, ma'am.
When I went to Pakistan recently, I was there working on my book and talking to people about my life with Muhammad Ali. So I went to one thing. This guy was trying to do this dodgeball thing and make it, you know, legal in the sports world. So I went to him. It's like 40 cameras all came out. This guy wanted to do this dodgeball, and I supported him totally. So somebody called and said, "Get Khalilah Ali to come over where the racquetball is." This guy is a pilot. He's an aviator. He runs the Air Force of Islamabad, Pakistan. So he said he wants her over there. And then when he said that to me, I was, "Oh, yeah, I'm all for that." We went straight over there after the interview, and he had a car. He said, "I understand you're an aviator." I said, "Yeah, I used to be. I haven't flown in 30 years, but because my children don't want me to fly and da-da-da." So he said, "Well, we got to pick you up in the morning." I said, "Really?" I said, "Okay." So he picked me up that morning and drove me to the airport. What this was a private airport for the military, and it's not like you go there to fly to go out of town or not. This is a private air force, and we went there, and he said, "You're going to do your briefing this morning." I said, "What? We got a briefing for you this morning." Briefing basically means you're going to go up, you're going to fly. And I go up, so, oh, my goodness. So I go, and they show me this Mesat plane, and this was one of the planes that I trained in. So it was like, this is going to be a piece of cake. I don't have a problem going up in this one, right? So I go there, and Muhammad Khan, who brought me to Pakistan in the first place. I said, come on, brother, go. He said, no. I ain't going up there with you. No. I get in the plane, and I have a co-pilot with me. He was a Muslim brother. He was really nice and everything. He was so honored to be with me, and I was honored to be with him. And we went up, and he was driving all around the sections of Pakistan, Islamabad, all these places, districts. And I said to him, I said, you want to try something? He said, what? I said, I want to do a 360. He said, what? He said, I want to do a 360. Trust me, I'm good. He said, okay. And at 360, switched the plane over.
Yes,
he just turned the plane totally over in the sky, and you see the ground over your head. And you're actually flipping over. It's the most exhilarating phenomena ever. It's the highest feeling, the greatest. Oh, you cannot describe it unless you're in a plane doing it. You know what I mean? So it's like, I said, let's do it again. He said, go ahead, do what you got to do. And I flipped it over again. And then we start going back. He said, that is amazing. I've never seen a woman do that. Yeah. And he was okay because he'd done it before, you know. And he said, wow, you're really good at this. He said, I didn't know you were that good. So we flipped and came and landed down. And if you want to see me driving that plane, you can't see me flipping over because it's too high in the sky. They couldn't get it. But if you want to see me flying, it's go to YouTube and type in Khalila Ali, Pakistan Air Force, and you can see me flying there.
Oh, my goodness. That is just brilliant. Listen, you have a tight schedule, Dr. Khalila Kamasa Ali.
Yes.
Thank you for being with us today, and we want you back, inshallah.
As a matter of fact, you know what? I got a surprise for you today.
Oh,
you get a few minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
You get a few minutes? Okay. This is my surprise. Hold on. To Salima?
Yes, ma'am.
I have on the phone, as we speak, one of the greatest producers that landed this grid right in my lap, none other than Ambassador Lee Carter.
Oh, wow, Mr. Lee Carter, it is a privilege and an honor. Thank you.
It's just as much a privilege and an honor to have the opportunity to speak about the greatness of Ms. Khalila Ali, Mama Soleil, who has come in and brightened the show. I'm great that she's outstanding. I never knew that it was going to be as good as it was until she gave me the privilege to put her on camera.
Yeah, and that's the brother I was telling you about. That's the actor that
so
plays my brother.
This show is entitled Family Life, and it is a form of family life. So we can lose you and thank you for your works. And being able to produce and film to also, as Dr. Khalila mentioned, the elements of life, turning bad into good.
Oh, yeah. And then that's actually what we do. We try to do most of us in real life. They are. Allow the bad to be our stepping stones to improve our way of life, to improve the thought pattern of our young kids coming up in the world today, that they can see you have options, you know, you have choices.
Right.
You don't have to contend with what's put and set before you if it's not what you want, and if it's not beneficial to sustain you and your family and loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, Mama Soleil definitely has a message for the young women out here today. Because it's based around human trafficking and, of course, some of the scenes, though it may be mob-related, it's giving us an opportunity to show the world as it is today, but yet know that we don't have to subside to every opportunity that come our way. We can make our own opportunities.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
The grid. We have the honor in our presence, Mr. Lee Carter.
Lee Carter. Hey,
yes,
Lee.
Yes, ma'am.
Lee, when you dropped me being associate producer in my lap, it just blew my mind. So I just want to thank you.
I mean, it was an honor to have you come in. So, I mean, it certainly was necessary to bring me in as a theater producer because, as I said, you brought the show up. You brought more livelihood. You brought an abundance of opportunity for a lot of people by yourself coming out of it.
Yes, sir. I really enjoyed that. I also want to thank Sister Salima and the people supporting her show, Brother Lee, that I got Salima connected through. I met her when she was 6 years old, by the way. So.
Okay.
And the reason why I got Murad Muhammad, who was the boxing promoter back in the day, one of Ali's best friends, who's a Muslim brother who has his own show called Murad Speaks. And this is the platform that we use supporting that and New Africa, the sentinel that we're from now. And Salima, I'm going to ask you, in the future, real soon, we want to get maybe your next program. We want to get Juice, and we're going to get Lee Carter and George on the phone, and they'll tell you all about the grid and how they came about with it and what made them choose me to help them and support them. And it's just a beautiful thing. So we want to see if we can get that interview on your jacket, the season 6 starts. So they can be ready.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you. And Mr. Carter, I want to hear more about that creative toolage, you know, that Dr. Ali is contributing to the show. And maybe, perhaps, after that 6th episode airs, that we can get accustomed to her character and, you know, the series and its future, absolutely the foundation book involved in putting such a project together. We talk about young artists and young artists being able to experience their art. And then, mm-hmm. Carter, you are a proponent of expounding that in the community. And we thank you, and I thank you, and I am honored that you are here today among us.
And I'm just as honored to have the privilege of opportunity, and thank you as well.
Yes, sir. I know you both have a tight schedule. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sister.
Again, listening audience, Mr. Lee Carter, Primetime Video, The Grid. It is currently airing now, the first 5 episodes. I understand Dr. Khalilla Ali will appear in the 6th episode. Make sure you set your dial, and we will have more in the future. Thank you both very much. Stay safe and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Sister Salima. Assalamu alaikum, Sister.
Alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you.
Alaikum assalam, and thank you. Brothers and sisters, so exciting. Before we leave, I want to mention a few more things. Dr. Khalil Ali Casting Company, the greatest casting agency at AOL.com. I also want to mention a new brand, Colors to Learn by Mama Ali. And this is for all ages. And next, to see her fly in Pakistan recently, you can look up Khalila Ali, that airport, and I understand, as she shared with us, it is a YouTube. So honored to have her here today. This has been exciting, and it's exciting for our future show, Family Life, as we celebrate family and celebrate life and how we get through the hardships of family. And most importantly, Dr. Khalila shared how we love and how forgiving is a part of that love. This program is sponsored by New Africa Excellent, Murad Speaks. Thank you for joining us today. You may reach me at salimahmoh77@gmail.com. That is salimahmoh77@gmail.com. Thank you for listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Murad Speaks. I decide to come on for the next half an hour to only to enlighten you that what you witness is who we are. It's unbelievable, and surely it wasn't planned. It wasn't designed. For a great producer from amongst us was thanking Salima for giving him that opportunity to share his thoughts and his ideas for that which he creates on the films. But to have the former wife of Muhammad Ali, he has an impeccable record of her ability to perform. And as she stated, that she's been through difficulties. Because she's in al-Islam, because she recognized she's a Muslim, she understands that the Holy Quran says, first comes difficulties and then comes ease. And what she experienced in life, it's not a hinder to anyone, but it shows you we all go through trial and error. That jinn that's in us. That jinn was put in us to test us. That jinn was put in us to see if, in fact, we really, truly believe. We all make mistakes, and we all fall. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say, fall towards your goal is a shorter distance when you get back up. And these things were taught to us as a youth. I was only 13 years old. She was a young girl coming up through Sister Clara Muhammad schools. And they taught us to be free. They taught us to be able to see who we are as a people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not a man that hated white folks. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad turned it around because they told us we were deaf, dumb, and blind. They told us that we were three-fifths of a human being. How could you dare tell a human being that? They took our language, our mothers and fathers away from us, and they made us a slave to them. So we went through hell. our women was raped, our little girls was raped, our fathers was castrated, our brothers was hung. They used to cut out babies, and the baby, after hanging the female from her feet, her head hanging down so they could cut the belly out and then throw the baby on the ground and stop the brain. Because he was crying what you were doing to her husband. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said they are devils. I don't care how unintelligent you may be, no one likes the devil. And so when we realized he was the devil, well, who are we? And Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, you're the Asiatic black man, the maker, the owner, the cream of the planet Earth, father of civilization, God of the universe. Wow, that got us. So he said, come to Islam. Freedom, justice, and equality. We wanted to be free. We wanted to have justice and sure equality. Money, good homes, and friendships in all walks of life. Well, we never lived in a home, so surely we wanted that. But in order to have a home, you had to have money. So he said, money first. Money, friends, money, friendships. How do we have friendships? We don't go nowhere. People don't accept us. So money, homes, and friendships in all walks of life. All that we became strong. We begin to love ourselves. No longer was inferior, we were superior before he passed. He said, don't treat your brother by the color of his skin. He said, treat your brother, whoever treats you like a brother. That was a major turnaround. Get out of this kindergarten that you're in and dealing with colors. That's when we was able to accept people that treat us like human beings and to love that individual. To you is that this was something that was the will of Allah, will of Khalil's mother, and the great producer in the womb of his mother, in the womb of her mother, that this will materialize and that you can actually see for yourself in this, not the physical eye, but your spirit can see it. Your soul can see it. Intelligence can see it. In spite of what all's going together, this was just a unite of who we are. We raise our children, and they're great baseball players. And our child gets paid, but they get rich off our child. And the child said, hi, mama, hi, daddy. Football players, the same thing. And some don't even call the father. Mama, mama. And where are they? In the bleachers. Whatever sport, tennis, how about boxing? Whatever sport you're doing, your parents are in the seats. And who's making all the money? Those that don't look like us. Those that look like their ancestors that put us in slavery. So what have we been doing? We are gifted. They know we are gifted. Over basketball, they were shooting set shots. Nobody cared. We come in the basketball, putting it between our legs, and we dump it. Oh, everybody comes out. Jim Brown can run the football and tell the tackle, I'm going to get you, and run through him. Oh, the football becomes lost. The women sisters play like they men. Them beautiful looking gorgeous female can make you think that I can beat a man playing tennis. All the tennis shoot up. How about golf? Tiger Woods holding a one became natural. Should I go on? But don't give them an education because they'll take over. You don't understand this black man. He didn't go 400 years of slavery, and today we're doctors and lawyers and engineers and our own producers. And here you had one of the top producers on the phone, on our radio, Blog Talk Radio, New Africa, Mariah Speaks, speaking that I'm honored to come back. This is the beginning, brothers and sisters, that you can feel safe with your daughter. You can feel safe with your son. Whether you want to model, whether you want to sing, whether you want to act, call us up. They call her Mama, Mama Muhammad. She loves that. So now we feel our children are being safe and not raped, not abused, like they're doing in the sports today. Thousands of men running through our children, men and women. It can stop right now. This is how I've been advocating this for years. And we come together and do what we know how to do to produce our own movies and taking that which you look at and you think, brother, that is good to be a dope dealer, a pimp, a hustler, or a murderer. He turns it around, flipping it on them. Yes, you got to show that because it exists. It exists today. Our children are being murdered in the streets. Our children are being shot in the streets at 13, 14, and you wonder why the little baby is being shot. This is not accidental. They take your organs. And the same is the undertakers know they take your organs. But it's only one out of a million out there saying, you know what's happening to your children. It's not accidental. They get shot. They get murdered. They come in here with youth. You know how much those organs cost? Millions of dollars. The center brain, the center heart, the center liver, a kidney. Millions of dollars being sent. And when they cut your child open, what is between it? Paper. Newspaper. Why don't they tell? Because they make money to allow this to happen. They don't want to tell you how it happened. They won't tell you that man that shot Dr. King did not kill Dr. King. Oh, he shot him. Whoever shot him. But they took him to a hospital way before the hospital they could have taken him to. And a Caucasian female walked in when he was on the bench, we might as well say. But he wasn't dead. Told her to get out. Get out right now. And she did, and as she was walking, she heard them bring up some slobber, all five of them, and turned around, and they spit it on him and smothered him to death. Did his wife know about it? Yes. She went to her grave knowing this happened. But the reason why she couldn't tell it because they would have killed her children. This is what's happening when we're individuals. If we don't come and make our actors and our producers and our great basketball, football players, great singers, our great artists, they came through your womb, sister. 9 months of agony and pain. And you produce that child, and the child grows up unbelievable, conscious, we give it away to the people that don't look like us. Got to stop. It should be vice versa. This is our football field. This is our basketball field. This is our tennis field. Our brothers and sisters, I am very ecstatic. I had no idea to take this half an hour. I had no idea. But I paid the price. You paid the fiddle, you called the tune. And this is what happens when we free. I want to thank my beloved brother for taking the opportunity to answer that phone because it was Khalilah. And you heard just one-tenth of who she is. But she didn't get where she's at. and didn't go through hell to get there, because she was trained to be an actress for years. She was in Hollywood. She's gifted. Any person can go into a country and listen to the sound of the words and grasp it in her mind and give it back to you. Got a gift. She knows both sides. She's from Chicago. They killing people by the dozen a day. Thinks you don't know that life. But they want you to play holy and thou as if it doesn't happen. So I'm going to leave you with this, and you should understand this. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, is a perfect example to us. Perfect. But there's no man on the face of the planet Earth is perfect. But what makes him perfect? You ever thought about that? What makes him perfect? Because 23 years he recited what God said. Nothing else. What God said. That's what makes him perfect. Did he have problems with his wife? Did he get upset? Yes. Did he commit a sin? He's human. But when he speaks of the Quran, that's not his words. The only thing going to make us successful if we use the words of God. Want for your brother that which you want for yourself. You are a mirror of one another. The prophet didn't just say that. This is what Allah told him to say. Tell him, Muhammad, that you are a mortal human being just like them. But you take that individual and put him over top of Allah. No, brothers and sisters. He's a messenger of God. He's a perfect example. And more important, ain't no more coming. So we don't praise him. We give him the salute, the excellent salute, our salutation salute. We give that to him. Peace and blessings be upon him and his companions and his descendants. But he's us. And our father, the Ushwa, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I don't like to say our father, the Sunnah. Because you'll never be equal, never be better. I follow the human being that knows how to keep that jinn Muslim. We're trying to do that. My jinn is not a Muslim. My jinn is a sympathizer. I'm working on it. So we all have jinns in us. And them jinns are going to be there all the way to your grave, sister, brother. What she goes through, we go through. It's no different. Allah will test you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify his name, he says, quote, this is what he said. He said, I have tried those before you. Who are you not to be tried? Now, Khalilah made a statement. I'm going to tell the truth. You know what telling the truth is? It's to wake up the young girl, the young boy that's coming through Vietnam. I use that as a metaphor. If you don't know Vietnam, never been there, you're going to lose a limb because there's still mines there that's plotted that never been explored. So you have to get someone from Vietnam to take you through Vietnam. You won't lose a limb. You won't lose your life. Doesn't that make sense? So she's been through the hell as a female, as a female. And because the hell she's been through and what she had to go through her trial, she passed that test. And Allah said he's all forgiving and most merciful. But once you get the knowledge, our job is to get it back. That's what's wrong with America right now. They don't want to get it back. They want it all for themselves. Did you ever think that you should suffer today? When I went into Dubai, I wanted $1 billion. I was offered $100 million. $100 million was just for me. But I didn't go to Dubai to just ask for money. I had the ability to be on ABC, NBC, CBS, HBO, USA, Showtime. I was a producer of live TV, 200 foreign countries. And too many people can say that. So I went to Dubai to use Dubai, which was very acceptable around the world, live from Dubai. I don't care if I was in New Jersey. I could be in Venezuela. Live from Dubai. This broadcast is brought to you by Dubai. But we would have commercials to show you how beautiful that country is that you don't know anything about because you didn't leave America. To be able to say just a few minutes in a one-minute commercial about LSR. Why would they accept it? Because I bring the ratings. You don't mind. But if you come in talking about, I want to show them how well Alisson is, they wouldn't have given it to me. But put on a Roy Jones Jr. fight. Put on a Manny Pacquiao fight. A Larry Holmes fight. Put on all the great, yes, they will go into all parts of the world. You will hear about what the Muslims are doing constructive. That's what I thought. I didn't get the deal. Not that they didn't want to do the deal. They asked me a question. Rod, how did you make it in America that's called the Great Satan? I said, America is not the Great Satan. You want to kill Arabs? Come to the East. You can kill a whole lot of them. Muslims. You want to kill the Christians? Go to Rome. A lot of Christians. You want to kill the Jews? Go to Israel. A lot of Jews. Country is not protected because of our military, our weaponry. We got some of the best around the world. Scare everybody. Our country is safe because the Jews, the Christians, the Muslims, the Hindus, men and women, all walks of life is where. All walks of life, they are in America. This is what God wants. All walks of life is here. So if you attack America, look who you kill. The Muslims, the Jews, the Hindus, all the religions, people. So Allah protects us. Now you say there's a group of people, 10% of America, is trying to overthrow America? You will accept that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorify his name? Nothing happened without his will. Not a leaf falls from the tree without his will. So why are we fearful? Why are we afraid? This independent producer is making movies and you're confined to your homes, meaning he's free. Where there's a will, there's a way. And at one time, you couldn't get on TV. No, we can't have TV. No, we can't have this. We can't have that. And here comes Streamline. And so then, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. I don't understand it. It just bothers me. It really disturbs me that we don't know how valuable our communication center is. And you just got a miracle today. And you think you would get it? No, you don't get it. Oh, wow, yeah, look who was on the radio, but had no clue this was Allah's will. Had none, none whatsoever. None whatsoever. We don't understand what time it is. It's for those who believe, those who have faith, will never give up on God. And I really and truly have a great love for Khalil Ali. She know I loved her for years. Every time she called me, I was right there for her. And as beautiful, as gorgeous as she looked, I was in love with her spirit. I was in love with her heart. I was in love with her moral decency. I was in love who she is. She can stand on Mount Everest. Because when you bring in billions of dollars to networks, and you're known as handling billions of dollars, and you're known in every library, and you're known around the world, that's easy for a man to get any woman he wants. But if I don't follow the Lord, I am, Allah would not be with me. So your character is everything. The FBI agent stood up, who took down all these big companies, and then they told him to come into the boxing world. Now all these men, and he made a statement that's all on the internet, boxing is corrupted. Illegal people are involved in boxing. But there's only one man that I couldn't find nothing on. His name is Murat Muhammad. Now you say, where did I get this from? Because I was just a young boy, acting like a man. The Alam Elijah Muhammad said, a good name is better than gold. Well, nobody gave me gold. I had currency. I wanted a good name. So it wasn't the money. I didn't even know that I was going to be known as I am. I didn't know I had 1,000 world contenders and 40 world champions, 50 world champions. I didn't know that. I didn't come into the boxing world to be rich. I came into the boxing world is to give the boxers an alternative. Today we have an alternative. We don't have to mess with them in Hollywood. You got men like you just heard. That's for your welfare and not your car fare. Did you hear what he said? She came in and turned the movie and made it her own. See, when you're an asset, no one gets rid of an asset. Oprah Winfrey, she's known for ABC, 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 ABC. Bill Cosby, he's known for NBC, NBC, NBC. How is it that I'm born in the projects with one parent and I'm known for ABC, NBC, CBS, USA, Fox Network, Showtime, USA? HBO would not even be in existence if I didn't walk in that door. Michael Jordan wouldn't be a billionaire if I didn't go to his boss, Phil Knight, and convince him. He introduced me to Michael. Yes, I launched Jordan Brand. I don't know too much about football. My son do. He's a Cowboy fanatic. I didn't even know Jerry Jones exists. But Jerry Jones sent his private jet to pick me up. Yes, I used to invite Magic Johnson. He's rich. I fly him in, put him up. Don't cost him one nickel. Jen Brown, likewise. Don't cost him one nickel. But these were giants. And if I'm able to do it, I want to associate with them. And I have came very close to both of them. I can go on and on, but the point is you should hear this vehicle took 8 years, 8 years to produce some of the best women. Taja Lee, Camilla, may Allah be pleased with the grand of paradise. She used to bring all the Hollywood people. Amir Wazir, may Allah be pleased with her. She's here, she's not gone, but she did a wonderful job in opening the door for Salima. Now, when I chose Salima, I know she had a gift. As she said, soon later, she'll have a doc put her sister, who's younger than her, Nadira, and them together as one. And they have done a wonderful job. And because this is on Blog Talk Radio, New Africa Excellent. She don't have the ratings like I have. But I take my show and we play this over so it can go out to the millions of people that listen to me. Can you imagine if I can get all of the media to join hands? I guarantee you we will hit hundreds of millions of people. I wouldn't race. We'll hit a billion. I can walk into any advertising company and say, you want to hear a billion people, and you mention your name on our broadcast? Oh, brothers and sisters, that's seven figures. That's seven figures a week or month. Everybody wants where they have ratings. Ratings where the money is. This is what I do. This is why the network come to me. They don't care. I'm a black Muslim. We don't call ourselves that, but they call us that when I walked in those doors. The Ku Klux Klan didn't allow me to take over Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, because it was about green. Sell all these arenas out like Madison Square Garden, Giants Stadium. And I went on to sell out California and took over Las Vegas, Nevada, some of the highest rating money ever. Well, now we did $117 million in 6 months right there in Las Vegas, Nevada. My idea. $49.95, that's my idea. Desert Storm 1, that's my idea. So nice, we did it twice. Mike Tyson never made over $5 million in his life. I started him off with 11.5 and then gave him $18 million in the second fight. And if he would have came in as a partner, it would have been split three ways, King, him, and I. But he wanted the $18 million. So Don King and I was the co-promoters. Wow. It took two of us to do so. But I had to share it with Steve Wynn. That was the man that stopped all the critics. That was the man that stopped people to come to sabotage us. And Don said, I don't think you're going to be able to do that. I just won $7.5 billion for him in the courtroom for taking Buster Douglas. I said, it's about money, Donald. You just listen. It's about money. Yes, he's going to curse you out, but you don't have to take it. Yes, he's going to dog. You have to take it. But if we want to get to this money, I'm going to my friend Steve Wynn. That's a true story. Bob Iger, what man, the CEO, calls Murad Muhammad? He called me. You have just reached Murad Muhammad. This is your brother, Bob Iger, and your friends flying over the Pacific want to talk to his brother. So we have that kind of relationship. Because why? I'm a producer. Out of 1,000 fights in all these networks around the world, they just told me 2 years ago I had never had one cancellation. That's Allah. Don't give me the credit. But Muhammad the Prophet, prayers peace upon him, never left that part of the world, Mecca. But he's known all over the world. And he didn't have this technology. This is what Allah does when we do anything good to help each other. I love the idea that my brother, with his good name and being a major producer, came on the phone and thanked Lord and significant Sulaima Muhammad for having him on the show and having Kalera on the show. And then Kalera, I want to bring the rest of them. This is what makes us large. If everybody did that, we'd be wealthy. You don't want to be, you know what, brothers and sisters, I believe I'm going to shock the whole world soon. But for the first time, I met a group of brothers. Oh, I was so elated. I was very motivated. It gave me determination. It's going to work. We can make all of us financially independent, collectively. But these men, listened to my idea, and they were very ecstatic that they felt that there's a will, there's a way, and more important, it takes some financing to another level. It's hard to teach that. But it's a lonely world out here. Because you can't take your mother, can't take your father, can't take your wife and children. You can't take anybody. Because there's one slip of the tongue, you do it for everybody. I don't slip the tongue. I say what I have to say, I get it done, and then I pass it off. So now I'm able to say, hey, will your movie come out? It's just 1 million of us turn on that movie. Don't let it be 2-3 million of my listening audience turn on that movie. Do you know how his rating goes up? If it's a movie that you had go into that movie, which you can't, they will be kicking his door down. You see, in my whole life, I did 5 fights with Al, 5 fights with Kim. Why? Because I don't deal like they deal. But when I did these 5 fights with each one of them, I had the hammer so I can deal with them. If they had a hammer, they would crush me because I'm a dependent. I'm an asset. The same way with all the networks. Thousand networks, I wasn't a producer. I brought ratings, the highest rated in prime time, NBC, 49. If Marvin had went to the second round or the third round, I guarantee you it would have been 60 million people. But Larry got him out in the first, but it doesn't raise the fact. I'm down in the record. 49 million people watched that fight. My idea, first time in the history of boxing. Prime time, ain't on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. We always in competition for that. But the two giants never got up on HBO. Yes, that's prime time. Yes, Showtime, that's prime time. PM, that's prime time. But you got to keep in mind, they have addressable homes. And addressable homes mean there's a limitation. The most HBO and Showtime, who I helped put in that position, those networks only have 40 million addressable homes. That's good. But when you go in prime time, free TV, that's 150 million homes. I'll take 49 all day long. And that's why they call you back. And they call you back. Go get Marat. Go get Marat. Because he's going to bring the right fight. And guess what? I trade made it my signature. Marat Muhammad promotes real fights. You can't come play with me. You ain't bringing me no fight of that. Went overseas and bought his win. You can't bring me a fighter that buys his win all through fights. When you get to the real fight, what happens? He can't fight. This is the new way now. You're not going to put my fighters on the shelf and not allow them to fight. My fights all the time, ready to fight, ready to go. And they get paid well. You got to get it the hard way. You got to work for it. And I ask you, I'll give you 3 chances. Win, draw, or look damn good losing. And if you look good losing, you come back with me. It means you got another opportunity. Add smoke in. We lost one, we lost two, we lost three. We didn't get it 4. We didn't get it. I'm talking about the big ones now. We were beating everything else. But we came back and we became world champions. Don't give up. Never give up. A winner don't quit, and a quitter don't win. That's my motto. You have to want it. So I want to thank Salima. You did an excellent job. And we want to both thank Khalil Ali She did a magnificent job. And for her to come on and tell you about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that you also take a page out of the book, reading Prophet Muhammad prayers, peace upon him. How many women can come on the network and talk like this? No, brother, you don't want her to talk like this. You don't want her to be a khalifa. She's a khalifa. We all khalifa. She's free. And my God, did she give her heart to the sisters out there. And you too, children. She's a mother. That you read about Muhammad the prophet, prayers, peace upon him, and look at the hell that he went through. But he never gave up on Allah. And that's what she's saying. Don't give up on God. My Christians know what the word Allah is. The God. That's all it means, the God. There's no five different gods. They want to tell you that. There's only one Lord. Whether you're a Christian, Jehovah's Witness, whether you're a Jew or a Hindu, wherever you choose your religion is, there's only one God. You can be an atheist. He don't believe in God, but he's still the God of the world. And you'll come to that understanding one day, God willing. But there's no compulsion when it comes to God. You can be who you want. We use the word God because it's used in America. And I don't want them to think that when we say Allah, oh, we're talking about a new God. Now, I taught that. My 3 million people that listens to me been taught for 8 years. They know everything. They know more than some of them that say they follow the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They use the don't say I'm not a Muslim. I'm a human being, brother. Why? Because I eat pork. I'm not a Muslim. Don't say I'm a Muslim because I drink sometimes. I go out to the bars. I am a Muslim in my nature. It has nothing to do with my character. I have to control my character, but you cannot take my nature away from me. And I'm not dead yet. So how do you know I won't get it before I leave this world? So you cannot take the nature of the human being away from nobody that's human. He's Muslim. Well, I don't like the dog. He's a Muslim. I don't like that horse. He's a Muslim. I don't like the pig. It's a Muslim. What about the rat, the cat? It's Muslim. Everything in creation is a Muslim because they more Muslim than you are in knowledge. Don't misconstrue now because you're a Muslim. I don't care how you stuck on stupid, you're still a Muslim. But they more in their habitat. You ain't never going to see a cat trying to be a human being. You'll never see a dog trying to be like a cat. You'll never see a pig will not get out of the nature in which he was created to submit to the will of God. That's who you are, pig. And that's who you are, cat. Well, now you saw that physical. Let's go to the sun, the moon, and the stars. They Muslim. The seven seas is a Muslim. Allah wills you to travel on his seven seas. But he said, let it be a storm, a storm is coming. Let the waves you down, it comes. They do what God wills. That sun comes up religiously. That's a Muslim. Well, get it straight. Don't sit on the rug and let someone try to tell you that your mama and your father is not a Muslim. Is they in Al-Islam? Nope. They believe Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nope. Do they say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? No, they do not. But they Muslim. Food. They eat. They digest their food just like you. Sneeze. They blink their eyes. They cough. They got sensitivity. They got love and affection, or you wouldn't be here. They just drop you in the toilet bowl. They Muslim. So we need to stop it. You go in the east, Assalamu alaikum. Go to Africa, Assalamu alaikum. MashaAllah, Allahu Akbar.
Oh, you Muslim? No, I'm Christian. They've been saying Allah for years. Man changed it. Well, no such thing as God. Yeah, Pharaoh called himself a God. He had a little confused. That's why we can't call ourselves Khalifa. Because no such thing as an individual Khalifa. Khalifa is a community that rules passion and love and affection. Oh, yeah, it punished too. So I am very, very, very ecstatic of what I heard today. And it's like saying, keep doing what you're doing, Marat. Because pretty soon we're going to have billionaires in America and in Islam and all those who follow our way of economics. Whether you like it or not, we all have something in common. We broke. Because anytime you can't help a city, anytime you can't help the state, anytime you can't help the East Coast or the West Coast or the North or the South, anytime you can't help a community, you're broke. And some people got money, but they broke mentally. I want to thank you for listening. And if I said anything to hurt anybody, I apologize to the bottom of my heart. That's not my intention. If I say anything incorrect, I'm human. I make it in Islam, we say subhanAllah. But if I said anything to allow you to stand up in your spirit, stand up in your soul, stand up in your deen, not a fitra, stand up in your obedience to God, stand up in your faith for God, but it don't accept. It's not accepted by God unless you love. And if you got that, that's your taqwa. But don't give me the credit for any of that. Give the credit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah glorify his name. I greet you from our father Adam, that's our biological father, to our father of the intellectual mind of all nationality, Abraham, to our father Jesus Christ. Christ means Muslim. That's our brother. He's not our father. We only got two fathers. One of the biological Adam and one with our mental capacity that allows us to be all that we can be to find God, Ephraim. Jesus is our brother. He's a Muslim. He came here to do Allah's work, and then Allah removed him. And I thank you for Prophet Muhammad, the seal of the Prophet. There's no more coming. We say peace and blessing be upon him. Why we give him the excellent salute? Because that excellent salute, brothers and sisters, salutes all the prophets at once. I am your host this afternoon, Rabbi Muhammad. We say peace and love. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.